1 Kings chapter number 17, and last week was a message that I preached on the only hope for America is Jesus, and it was the, of course, 4th of July weekend, 4th of July being on Tuesday, and preached that message. But 2 weeks ago, we started to examine God's care for His children, and of course, this year our theme, Great is the Lord and Greatly to be Praised. You see the banners, we've had it all over the place trying to get us in that understanding. Psalm 48, we sing as our theme song each service to remind us that our God is so great and His greatness is known, but yet the Bible tells us that His greatness is unsearchable, and there's no contradiction in those statements. The reality is that as much as you or I could understand about how great God is, He's still greater, and that ought to encourage us this morning to know that we serve a great God. He is the living God. And He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We've looked at a number of things this year that have helped us to discover the greatness of God. We started out by saying we believe that God is great, but why? What is it about God that would lead us to say that He's great? And we've looked at a whole host of things as we discover God's greatness in His Word, and then we'll transition here in just another 6 weeks or so into the second phase of our message series, if you will, not only discovering God's greatness, but then we are to declare God's greatness. If we know how great He is, it's a wonderful thing for us to know that personally, but there's a lost world that needs to know of our great Savior and how wonderful He is. One of the aspects as we began looking a couple of weeks ago at this portion of Scripture in 1 Kings is dealing with the fact that God's care for His children reveals to us how great He is. We've been using, last message and then again today, we'll be using the events here in the life of Elijah. I believe that these events that are recorded for us so clearly reveal to us God's care for His people. I believe this morning as we truly grasp the truth regarding God's care, it'll lead us to understand a greater aspect of God's greatness. Why do I say that? Well, God tells us this in 1 Peter 5 in verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him. Why? For He careth for you. We understand this morning that that promise, that truth that is given to us in 1 Peter 5 and verse number 7, is a promise, a truth that is given to every believer globally. And I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about our interactions one with another and an individual's ability to be able to care for someone else. And the reality this morning is that my ability to care for you, your ability to care for me, your ability to care for one another is limited. But God's ability to care for every single one of us, just in this room, then to think about all of the believers globally, causes us to understand just how great our God is. That He cares about every aspect of your life and my life. He is intimately involved and aware of what's going on in your lives. We looked at in our last message the fact that He tells us that we're of greater care, or we're of greater value than the ravens, than the birds. And He tells us that the very hairs of our head are numbered, and He knows everything about us. He is a personal God. And for that, we ought to rejoice. It's wonderful to know that He is the Lord God omnipotent, and He rules and He reigns, but He's my God personally, and He cares about me, and He cares about you. We find that as we began studying in 1 Kings chapter 17, we find that God's care was given, was evidenced to us as we look at the interactions with Elijah as God would give him direction to go to the brook Cherith. And we understand that God said it was there at that place specifically where God had commanded the ravens to feed him there. And I said this, I said the ravens are more interested typically in stealing your lunch than in bringing you lunch. And we see that, and we understand that, but God is the Creator. He said, I'm going to allow the brook to sustain you with water, and I'm going to command the ravens to bring you food. And the Bible tells us that Elijah obeyed the Lord, and he went and he dwelt there, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. What a wonderful provision that God made, demonstrating to us, revealing to us the care that God has for his people. We find that the Bible tells us there in verse number 7 that the brook dried up. By the way, it's important to understand that that truth did not surprise God. God knew. And remember, it was God that said that there'd be no rain. He gave Elijah the responsibility of taking that message to King Ahab. But we find that here, as we see the condition of the brook drying up, that God then speaks to Elijah again in verse number 8, thus demonstrating even further truth to us with regard to his care for his people. Notice in verse number 8, 1 Kings 17, the Bible says this, "And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there." Listen to what he says. "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Many of us this morning are familiar with the passage of Scripture before us, 1 Kings 17. We're familiar with this passage. We're familiar with what takes place. But I hope this morning that as we take a fresh approach at this portion of Scripture, that we'd be encouraged to know of God's care for us personally and to understand how God cares about us as individuals. And I hope that it would encourage us this morning. I want you to notice I've titled the message this morning there from verse number 9, "Get thee to Zarephath." Number one, if you're taking notes, I want you to note God's plan. Understand this with me this morning. God always has a plan. God always has a plan. We understand that his plan for the ages is revealed to us through the Bible, and he's given us his precious word, and he has revealed to us the plan for the ages, and what God has revealed is going to come to pass, and we can rest assured of that. But we can rejoice this morning in knowing that God has a plan for our lives individually. Why? Because he cares about us, and he has a plan for us. And we find that here in verse number 9 of our text of Scripture that once again, God provides clear direction to Elijah. He gives him the direction to go to a particular place and then tells him that in that place of Zarephath that he's commanded a widow woman there to sustain him. Now I want you to understand here just for a moment that as we look at the geography of what's taking place and we see where Elijah is, remember he's at the brook Cherith, and the Bible tells us that is before Jordan. And so if you were to look at what's taking place from a geographical perspective, you find that Elijah is here at the east side of the Jordan in a place called Cherith. And he's there at that place, and God has miraculously sustained him. And now God is telling him to go to Zarephath. Now, Zarephath is on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. The geography would help us understand that this distance between Zarephath and Cherith is approximately 100 miles. That's a long distance. Today, we don't think much about traveling 100 miles with our modern conveniences and transportation and what have you, but I want you to understand that in Elijah's day, to travel 100 miles, especially across the Judean wilderness and all of that, is a very difficult journey. And we begin to think about this journey and we see what's taking place, and we also understand that this journey would be a long journey, but I want you to understand this morning that Elijah was a marked man. Elijah was a man that stood before King Ahab, and we mentioned briefly in our last message that King Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings that went before him. And here Ahab is the king, this wicked man. Jezebel is his wife. And here Elijah stands before him and announces the judgment of God. So how does Ahab refer to Elijah? As he that troubleth Israel. It's Elijah's fault that we don't have any rain. It's Elijah's fault that we have this drought. It's Elijah's fault that we have no water and no food and all of this. It's Elijah's fault. He's the one that troubles Israel. But the reality is that it was not Elijah that troubled Israel. It was the wickedness of the people of God. It was their idolatrous worship. It was their turning their back to God that resulted in the judgment of God coming upon them. And I want you to look in chapter 18 just for a moment, and I want you to see this morning that Elijah was a marked man. Not only that Ahab, but also Jezebel wanted Elijah dead. Notice what the Bible tells us in 1 Kings 18 in verse number 4. The Bible says this, and this is the interaction there with Obadiah. But it says in verse number 4, "For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." So why did Jezebel do this? Why is it that she killed the prophets of the Lord and Obadiah interceded and helped to protect and sustain these prophets of the Lord, 100 of them? We see also in verse number 13 that it says this, "Was it not told my Lord what I did when Jezebel slew the prophets of the Lord, how I hid 100 men of the Lord's prophets by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water?" And so why is Obadiah rehearsing this to Elijah? Because Elijah comes to Obadiah and says, "Go tell Ahab that I'm here." Now, Obadiah is a little bit fearful of that because he says, "You're going to disappear, and then it's going to be problematic for me." That's Obadiah's perspective. Why does Obadiah have that perspective? Well, look at verse number 10 here in 1 Kings chapter 18. Notice what the Bible says. "As the Lord thy God liveth, there is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek" who? Thee. Who's he talking about? Elijah. There's no, look at what he says. I mean, notice carefully. "There is no nation or kingdom whither my Lord hath not sent to seek thee. And when they said he is not there, he took an oath of the kingdom and nation that they found thee not." He was a marked man. Why would Ahab and Jezebel go through great lengths, these kind of lengths, to try to find Elijah? They wanted to kill him. They thought, if we could get rid of this guy, Elijah. I mean, they slay all these other prophets, and they want to get rid of Elijah because of the announcement of judgment, because of the experience that they have. And we don't know exactly the total amount of time that takes place between Elijah being at the brook Cherith and then Elijah receiving this information to go to Zarephath. But whatever the period of time is, we know that it's 3 years before he appears to Obadiah in chapter number 18. But we find that during this time, now understand with me, Elijah's going to take a 100-mile journey as a marked man. Now think about that. As we think about God's plan and we consider this morning the care of God is revealed to us through God providing direction for His children. And again, I'm thankful, as I mentioned 2 weeks ago, that God continues to provide us as His people with clear direction. I'm thankful that I can seek the face of God and I can ask Him to provide me with leadership and with direction in my life, and we can find that God will guide us and He will lead us. And we find here, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that not only is God's care revealed through God giving this clear direction, but as we understand the journey that is before Elijah, we understand here in this text of Scripture that God would supernaturally protect His child, thus giving us further insight with regard to the care of our God. It's a long journey. Could God have sustained Elijah somewhere closer? Sure, He could have. God can do anything, right? But God chose to send His servant to Zarephath, 100 miles away. And in this plan, God gives him a promise. We'll note that in just a moment. But we find that in this plan, there would be this journey. And guess what happens? Elijah ends up in Zarephath. Even though he's a marked man, even though there's a long journey, there are plenty of perils that could come his way. But God is protecting. We note God's plan. Number two, this morning we consider God's promise. As we noted in verse number 9, that God gave him the instruction, He gave him the clear direction with regard to where to go. But we notice that this wonderful promise is given at the end of verse number 9. Notice what the Bible says. "Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, this morning when we think about the promises of God, I'm thankful that God's promises are precious and they're certain. I'm thankful this morning that we can stand on the promises. We didn't sing the song, but many of us are familiar with that wonderful hymn, Standing on the Promises. And I'm so thankful, as Peter would refer to the promises of God as being exceeding great and precious promises. And we can rejoice this morning that our God is not a man that he should lie. What God has promised, he will bring to pass. And we find that here, God says that I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, I want you to think about Elijah, and I want you to consider the events in his life. First, God tells him to go to a brook, Cherith, and he's commanded the ravens to sustain him. Now he says, go to Zarephath, and I've commanded a widow woman to sustain thee. Now, typically speaking, it would be that widows were to be cared for. Widows were to be cared for. But yet God says, I'm going to use this widow woman to sustain thee, Elijah. To sustain thee. As we begin to think about this truth, this promise that God gives, we find that God has given to you and to me many promises in His Word, and we rejoice in those promises, and we find that some of those promises are conditional promises, and some promises are unconditional promises. And as we begin to think about the two aspects of the promises that God has given us in His Word, we can think of an unconditional promise. One that's very simple for us to relate to is the promise that Jesus made when He said, I will come again. That has nothing to do with any conditions that any of us have to meet. He's going to come at the appointed time. He's going to come right on time, and there's going to be no delay, and we understand that He will come. Just as He came the first time, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, according to the book of Galatians, for the purpose of redeeming them that were under the law. And I'm so thankful that Jesus came the first time, but oh, what a wonderful Bible truth that He's coming a second time. And when He comes, listen, He says, I will come again. That's an unconditional promise. As we look at the Word of God, we find that there are many times that God gives us conditional promises. Many times those conditional promises can be easily seen in the Scriptures where the Bible says, if then. And there are these if then promises, these conditional promises. If you do this, then God says He's going to do this. And we find here in this text of Scripture both promises that were given, the one about going to the brook Cherith, and then even here, the one that's before us this morning with this man, Elijah, going to Zarephath. This is a conditional promise. Why? Because he had to go. He had to go to that place. He had to obey the Lord. We find that, as I mentioned last week, or 2 weeks ago, in verse number 4, at the end of the verses, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Every word of God is pure. Not one jot or one tittle is going to pass away. And we find that God specifically, he did not say, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee. He says, I've commanded the ravens to feed thee there. Here we find that he tells them to go to Zarephath, and which is a city that belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. There. Now, it's interesting not only to note the distance between Cherith and Zarephath, but it's also interesting to note that Zarephath was a city that was the home of Jezebel in the center of Baal worship. I mean, when we understand these things, it begins to elevate in our minds. God, are you sure you want me to go there? We don't see Elijah asking that question. See, sometimes we ask questions like that. But God gave clear direction. There was no hesitation on God's part. There was no problem with God communicating effectively to Elijah where he was to go. It was Elijah's duty to simply obey what God said. We find that the Bible tells us, even though the journey would be long and it would be difficult and perhaps met with, from a human perspective, many perils, we find that the city was a city that was an idolatrous city that was the home of Jezebel. But we find that the Bible tells us in verse number 10, so he arose and went to Zarephath. I am challenged by the immediate obedience of Elijah. As I begin to consider, even as we had our lesson in Sunday school this morning with the children of Israel responding to the message that Samuel delivered, a simple message in 1 Samuel chapter number 7, that they immediately responded. There was no need for delay. And we find that here in this text of Scripture that Elijah's behavior is met by demonstrated by his immediate obedience. Notice it says that he went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, notice the Bible says that the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." So he initially, upon arriving to the city of Zarephath, the widow woman that God has commanded to sustain him is there, and she's gathering sticks, and here comes the man of God, Elijah, into the city that God told him to go to. God had given him that promise, and he responds in obedience, and as he goes there, the Bible says that he says to this widow woman that's gathering these sticks, "Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink." What does she do? It says in verse number 11, as she was going to fetch it, so she's going to go get a drink for Elijah, that he then calls to her and says, "Fetch me, I pray thee," in verse number 11, "bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand." You know, not only am I thirsty, but I'm kind of hungry as well. Bring me something to drink, but also bring me something to eat. And we find that the response of the widow woman is given to us in verse number 12, and insight is provided with regard to her situation, her condition. And she says this, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. Behold, I'm gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." God told Elijah that this widow woman was going to sustain him. And he arrives, and the widow woman says, "Yeah, I'll go get you some water." And he says, "You know, give me something to eat as well." And she says, "Let me explain something to you. As the Lord thy God liveth, I don't have but a handful of meal, just a little bit of oil. And my plan is actually for my son and I to have this little meal, and we're going to eat it, and we're going to die." Can you see the condition, the situation of this woman, this widow woman? And we find that Elijah responds to her, and he says these words, "Fear not." See, Elijah had a promise from God. What was that promise from God? That promise was, "I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And by the way, as he speaks to the widow woman, we get further insight, because the Bible says that the meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. This was really the final stop for Elijah during this drought season. God moved him from the brook Cherith to Zarephath, but it was in that place that God was going to sustain him until God sent rain. And no one knew when that day would be. But Elijah had a promise from God. By the way, God is the one that sends the rain. God is the one that's in control of all things. And we find that as the Creator God and the Sustainer God, that He is the one that was able to keep, to prevent the rains from coming, but He too would be the one that would send the rain. And we find that Elijah has this promise, and even though he hears the situation as it's explained by this widow woman, he says to her in verse number 13, "Fear not." But notice what he says, "Go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son." A little selfish there, Elijah, aren't you? No, he's just trusting God. He's just proving God. He's got a promise. The promise is that this widow woman is going to sustain thee. And here we find that the Bible says that he responds to her, and he then says, here's what God has said. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, verse number 14, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. How's God going to do that? God can. God can. Sometimes we get so, and if you have that analytical mind like I do, sometimes that messes us up with faith. Why? Because we like to trust in our own understanding. But God says that we're not to lean on our own understanding. We're to trust in the Lord completely, fully, wholly. And we find that here, Elijah has a promise from God Almighty. The Lord God, Creator God, God gave a promise, and Elijah was holding to that promise. Listen, this morning, when you have a promise from God, it reveals to us that God cares about us and He'd give us promises. And we know this morning that God will always fulfill the promises that He's given. No doubt in your life and in my life, there's been someone that has broken a promise that they made to us. No doubt in your life and in my life, there's been a time that we've given a promise to someone that we could not fulfill, we could not uphold. That'll never happen with God. It'll never happen with God. And God said, go to that place, and I have commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. And Elijah just believed God, just simple faith. We could look at Elijah and say, what a great man of faith. And you may have that perspective. And I'm not telling you that that perspective is wrong, but I understand this morning that it's simply taking God at His word. Listen, we have a big God. We have a God of the impossible. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to Ephesians 3 and verse number 20. And so often in our lives, we may not prove God because we're not taking those promises that He's given us. You know, sometimes in our prayer life, it'd be important for us to pray back some promises to God. God, You promised that You would, and I'm going to obey You based upon the promise that You gave me. And God, I'm trusting You, and I'm proving You, God, that You're going to do what You said You were going to do. As I take this step of obedience, as I'm putting faith in Your word, and I'm believing You, Lord, to do what You said You would do. And Elijah exercised faith. He communicates to this widow woman the promise of God. He gives her this truth that the meal would waste not and the cruse of oil would not fail. It does not seem, as you look at the text of Scripture, that there's any further discussion, that there's any interest from her with regard to how's that going to happen. He gave the promise, God did, to Elijah. Elijah held firm to that promise and then communicated that promise to the widow woman. No matter, as we look at this passage of Scripture, we see how no matter what's going on, no matter what our minds might want to believe, we must believe what God has said in His Word. We must take God at His Word. The just shall live by faith. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse number 6 that, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is so important in our lives. Believe God. Believe God. We consider this morning, we note God's plan, we consider God's power, His promise. I want you to note number three, God's power. His plan, His promise, and His power. As we note in verses 15 and 16, God's power is clearly demonstrated for us. We've mentioned in previous messages that God is great because of His great power. And here we find that even as He would show His care for His servant, that His power is once again displayed. The Bible tells us in verse 15 that she, the widow woman, went and did according to the saying of Elijah. So she obeyed what Elijah said. Elijah had such conviction in communicating the promise of God that he had received to this widow woman that she too believed. And she acts in obedience to what Elijah has communicated to her. And it says this, and she and he and her house did eat. Notice it says many days. I don't know how long many days. I don't know. It doesn't tell us. We know that between Brook Cherith and Zarephath is about 3 years, according to chapter 18. But here, we don't know exactly the number of days, but I want you to understand that she thought on that morning, that day that she met Elijah when he entered into the city, she thought that was her last day. We're going to eat this and we're going to die. That's the plan. And the Bible tells us that they did eat many days. Notice what it says in verse 16. Can you imagine? It says, in the barrel of meal wasted not. I got that underlined in my Bible. Neither did the cruse of oil fail. I got that underlined. Notice what it says, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. I want you to think about the behavior over these many days, this period of time. Again, I don't know the amount of time, but I want you to consider with me the routine, the behavior. I want you to think about this widow woman as she would go and as she would have the opportunity to make the food, to prepare it, and she would go to that to where she kept that meal. Now, she knew what she had in the beginning, right? There's no question what she had in the beginning. She said, I have enough for just a little cake. And my son and I, we're going to eat it. We're going to die. She went back to that thing and she prepared, she made, and then the next day she goes back and there's more. It's there. Now, you can believe what you want to believe, and if you want to preach, you can say what you want to say when you're preaching, but I believe that God didn't just fill that thing up overflowing. I don't believe that. I believe that every day there was enough for the day. She make that, they'd eat. She go back, and it wasted not. The oil, it didn't fail. God sustained them. God provided for them. And we see God's power on display. Listen, you can't explain this passage any other way but say God did it. There's no human ability that we would have to explain how did that not fail? How did it not waste? I mean, it's totally impossible that they could eat for many days. I mean, was she? No, God did it. And I want you to know this morning that in your life and in my life, God cares about us. And God knows what our needs are. God knows what we're dealing with. And God's given us some promises. And as we claim the promises of God and we act in obedience to God, we're going to expect God to work. We'd expect God to do what he said he would do. We'd expect God to provide as he said he would provide, that he would take care of us. Listen, we talk about the model prayer. When Jesus, the disciples say, Lord, teach us to pray. And part of that model prayer, it's not the Lord's prayer, it's the model prayer. Part of that model prayer is give us this day our daily bread. Most of us this morning in this country, we've been so blessed that we don't understand what it means to pray for daily provision. Why? We got a cupboard full of stuff. And I understand that sometimes we go and we say, there's nothing to eat. You guys ever do that? And if you're the husband and your wife says, there's, and they start naming things that are available to eat, and you're like, well, that's just nothing that I really want to eat right now. We got plenty. I remember when I went to Hope Children's Home 7 years ago. Holly and I toured that place, and they had on the wall in their kitchen that they were praying for bacon. I like bacon. They're praying for bacon. And a list of other things, and I kind of just kind of inquire. Chris was the fellow that took us on a tour. He pastors in West Virginia now. And I remember inquiring about that list of things, and bacon was at the top. He's like, it's been a really long time since we've had bacon. The kids really like some bacon, and they're praying that we'd be able to get some bacon. And Ron, I seriously, the thought that I had, was I've never prayed for bacon. You know what I do if I want bacon? I go get it. I'm being serious. I'm not being prideful, I'm not boasting. I'm not independently wealthy, but I'm just saying God's taken care of us that I just can go and buy bacon. And by the way, most of you can as well. They're praying for bacon. You know what I did? Holly and I got in the car after we took the tour and we went down to Walmart and I bought a whole cart of bacon. I did, man. I loaded that thing up. People probably thought I was crazy. It's going to be bad for your heart, your arteries. I'm not eating it. I'm just giving it to somebody else. Amen. And we took that and a whole host of other things are on that list and just try to be a blessing. I want you to understand this morning that God said He would take care of us. He said He would take care of us. And no matter what the circumstances are in your life, no matter what we're facing, God is able to take care of His children. He is the Almighty God, El Shaddai. He made Himself known to Abraham in that fashion. He said, I am the Lord God Almighty. Then he asked, was there anything too hard for me? No, nothing's too hard for thee. You're the Almighty God. He's all powerful. He's all knowing. And He cares about every single one of us. You say, Pastor, you don't know what I'm dealing with. I may not. And the real truth of the matter might be that I can't care for you the way that you might desire because I'm a limited individual. But the unlimited God can make a promise to all of the believers around the globe for all of history, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. He's a great God. His care is evidenced in 1 Kings 17 through providing direction to Elijah. Elijah, I know the brook dried up. I'm aware of that. I knew it would happen. Get thee to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. 100-mile journey for a marked man to the city that was the home of Jezebel, the center of Baal worship. And Elijah made it safely and dwelled there safely because God took care of him. And then God supernaturally provided, not only for Elijah, but for the widow woman and for her house, her son. And the Bible tells us that the meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which He spake by Elijah. Our God is able. This morning, I don't know exactly what everyone's dealing with. We got some visitors here. I don't even know who you are. Just met you a few moments ago. But I know that man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. We have burdens. We have concerns and cares. And our great God says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The life of Elijah so clearly demonstrates for us God's care for His people. And I hope this morning we'd be encouraged. I hope this morning that we would cast our burden unto the Lord, knowing that He'll sustain us. He's promised to do so. We have a great God. He says to Elijah, get thee to Zarephath. And he proved His power. What a great God we serve. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for loving us. Thank You for the life of Elijah, the opportunity we have to study, to be challenged by, to be encouraged with the truth that's contained in this portion of Scripture. God, I know that in a crowd of any size, their burdens, cares, concerns. God, I pray that You would help each one that's here this morning to know that You are a great God and that You care about them. You'll sustain them. You gave us the instruction to cast our cares upon You. I pray that we'd obey You. God, we know the greatest need for any individual's salvation. There's one present here this morning, or one that's tuned in via live stream that's not sure of heaven. I pray that today, Lord, that the Holy Spirit of God would convict them of their sin, of Christ's righteousness, and of judgment to come. And understand that they're a sinner in need of a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He bled and died, was buried, and rose again to pay for their sin so they could be redeemed, ransomed, reconciled. What a wonderful Savior. Lord, if someone needs to be saved today, I pray that you'd work and move. Today is the day of salvation. I pray there would not be delay, would not be put off. No man knoweth what a day may bring forth. God, I pray for every child of God. Would you help us to trust you? God, you've given us so many promises, even as you gave Elijah this promise here in this portion of Scripture. I pray that we'd respond as he did, with obedience and with faith. We'd see you do what only you could do. I pray that in this few moments of invitation that you have your will and way, that you'd move and work in hearts and lives as only you can. Well, thank you for every decision that's made, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with